Chapter 1. Competition.
China seems to have been long stationary, and had probably long ago acquired that full complement of riches which is consistent with the nature of its laws and institutions. But this complement may be much inferior to what, with other laws and institutions, the nature of its soil, climate, and situation might admit of. A country which neglects or despises foreign commerce, and which admits the vessels of foreign nations into one or two of its ports only, cannot transact the same quantity of business which it might do with different laws and institutions. A more extensive foreign trade could scarce fail to increase very much the manufactures of China, and to improve very much the productive powers of its manufacturing industry. By a more extensive navigation, the Chinese would naturally learn the art of using and constructing themselves all the different machines made use of in other countries, as well as the other improvements of art and industry which are practiced in all the different parts of the world. Adam Smith.
Why are they small and yet strong? Why are we large and yet weak? What we have to learn from the barbarians is only solid ships and effective guns. Feng Weifeng.
Two Rivers. The Forbidden City, Gugong, was built in the heart of Beijing by more than 1 million workers, using materials from all over the Chinese Empire. With nearly 1,000 buildings arranged, constructed, and decorated to symbolize the might of the Ming Dynasty, the Forbidden City is not only a relic of what was once the greatest civilization in the world, it's also a reminder that no civilization lasts forever. As late as 1776, Adam Smith could still refer to China as one of the richest, that is, one of the most fertile, best cultivated, most industrious, and most populous countries in the world, a much richer country than any part of Europe. Yet Smith also identified China as long stationary, or standing still. In this he was surely right. Within less than a century of the Forbidden City's construction, between 1406 and 1420, the relative decline of the East may be said to have begun. The impoverished, strife-torn, petty states of Western Europe embarked on half a millennium of almost unstoppable expansion. The great empires of the Orient, meanwhile, stagnated and latterly succumbed to Western dominance. Why did China founder while Europe forged ahead? Smith's main answer was that the Chinese had failed to encourage foreign commerce, and had therefore missed out on the benefits of comparative advantage and the international division of labour. But other explanations were possible. Writing in the 1740s, Charles de Secondat, Baron de Montesquieu, blamed the settled plan of tyranny, which he traced back to China's exceptionally large population, which in turn was due to the East Asian weather.
I reason thus. Asia has properly no temperate zone, as the place is situated in a very cold climate, immediately touch upon those which are exceedingly hot. That is Turkey, Persia, India, China, Korea, and Japan. In Europe, on the contrary, the temperate zone is very extensive. It thence follows that each country resembles the country joining it, that there is no very extraordinary difference between them. Hence it comes that in Asia, the strong nations are opposed to the weak. The warlike, brave, and active people touch immediately upon those who are indolent, effeminate, and timorous. The one must therefore conquer, and the other be conquered. In Europe, on the contrary, strong nations are opposed to the strong, and those who join each other have nearly the same courage. This is the grand reason of the weakness of Asia and of the strength of Europe, of the liberty of Europe and of the slavery of Asia, a cause that I do not recollect ever to have seen remarked.
Later European writers believed that it was Western technology that trumped the East, in particular the technology that went on to produce the Industrial Revolution. That was certainly how it appeared to the Earl Macartney after his distinctly disappointing mission to the Chinese Imperial Court in 1793. Another argument, popular in the 20th century, was that Confucian philosophy inhibited